Hope that you read in between the lines. Pray for guidance, now I see the sign. Put me right to what I need to find. You can help me, it's for me to find. I took a peek inside. I ain't broken, I'ma be just fine. Couple things I had to redefine. Ain't nobody in this league of mine. At the table when it's feeding time. That's why they look for me to lead the line.
Welcome to That American Football Show, powered by EP Sports. EP Sports is the top supplier in the UK for all your American football needs, helping players and coaches reach their potential since 2007. Check them out at epsports.co.uk. Huge shout out to Darren Waller, aka D-Wall, whose music you just heard is giving us permission to use as an intro for this episode. Tim, do you want to enlighten our listeners on how we managed to get that?
It's been a very strange 24 hours for all of us, really. So our friends at Lockdown Lids, I won a Darren Waller signed jersey off them. So as I always do, I sent them a tweet showing a picture of the jersey arrived and say thank you, spread the word about Lockdown Lids. And I accidentally tweeted Darren Waller in. So I was actually going to type Darren Waller jersey, and it automatically put his handle in there. I thought, oh, sod it, I'll just leave it there. And then he liked the tweet. So I was like, oh, I'm going to DM him then, see if he wants to come on the podcast. And as I was doing that, I saw some other guys saying, can we use the music? So I thought, well, no risk it, no biscuit. So I sent him a message saying, can we use your music? And he said, yeah, dope, use as much as you want, which is great. So we've now got Darren Waller's music on the show.
Honestly, check it out. That's actually quite good. I've been going through his music. obviously, it is our Super Bowl episode today. So lots to get through. Right as an intro, we do have a giveaway running on our Twitter. It is for a fan bundle and a Tafts hat from EP Sports. So do make sure you head over there and check it out. Let's just fly straight into some news before we talk about the upcoming game then, as it's kind of the beginning of the off-season for most teams. A lot of QB news is flying about. Biggest news so far is obviously the trade between the Lions and the Rams. Does anyone have the full trade in front of them? Because it was rather the King's ransom for Jared or Matthew Stafford.
So the Lions sent Stafford to the Rams in exchange for the Rams' first-round draft picks in 2022, 2023, and a third-round pick in 2021, and quarterback Jared Goff.
Okay, so there's been a lot of thoughts about the trade. Personally, I think it was kind of a win-win for both teams because Rams needed a better quarterback. Matthew Stafford gets to go to a team that's competing in the playoffs after being locked in Detroit for a few, couple years. And then the Lions obviously get this fantastic draft capital going forward. And they get a quarterback who played in the Super Bowl, what, 2-3 years ago. So it's not like he won his playoff game this year on a bloody surgically altered thumb. So it's not like they've gotten crap out of it. Jared Goff can be serviceable and shown he can be very good.
Yeah, it's a win-win for both teams. The Rams are in win-now mode and they need a QB for now. Stafford finally gets to go to a team where he can make a genuine push for the Super Bowl like he's always wanted after years of being beaten up in Detroit, whereas Detroit are more on a slow burn and are looking to the future to build up in the future. So they've basically, the Rams have given up picks that they're not thinking about in the future going forward. They're thinking about now. And like I said, the Lions, I'm imagining not looking on exactly making a Super Bowl push next season. They're looking at a bit more of a slow burn over the next couple of seasons to build up slowly with Dan Campbell and to try and really build something there long term in the future.
Yeah, it looks as if Goff can potentially be a bit of a bridge quarterback for them. Like, as you said, he made a Super Bowl. He's not a bad quarterback. Admittedly, yeah, he's been regressing, but it's still not bad. He was, what, second overall pick, was he, back in... Goff was first.
Yeah.
Oh shit. Okay. Well, there you go.
They traded two first round picks to get him, and then traded two first round picks to get rid of him.
Yeah. So like, business wise, it seems bad.
The first time a first overall has been swapped for a first overall.
Is it?
Yeah. First time it's ever happened. I think, or it might be specifically with quarterbacks, but I did read something like that.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I think OJ Simpson, there was something with a trade with him. But I think if you're a fan of either team, you're going to be happy with the trade because, you know, you both got what you wanted.
And to phrase a question slightly weirdly, if a quarterback, if we put the value of a quarterback is also on the team around him, so for example, Tom Brady's fantastic because he's not only a great quarterback, but he's got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Matt Stafford's always been regarded as kind of like a top five, top 10 quarterback. He's very good, but he's been on the Lions. Where does this put Matt Stafford? Because he's getting Cooper Kupp, who I know you love, Joe, and he's one of the quickest receivers. I wouldn't say he's the fastest, but he's quick. And Sean McVay is obviously this self-penned off, or not self-penned, but offensive genius. Everyone says Jared Goff's only good because of him. Is this going to fire Matt Stafford into top three, or is he going to get worse, or is there going to be growing pains or anything?
I think he's a top 10 quarterback. I think a lot of people, in my eyes, he's a top 10 quarterback, and a lot of people agree with that. I think a massive thing for him is the coach is Sean McVay. I think that is key. You know, he's had players around him before. You know, he had Megatron back in the day, and he has, you know, the Lions do have some decent receivers in Kenny Golladay, and you got Jones Jr. as well. So I don't necessarily think it could be the weapons. I just think the coaching is huge. You've got someone who's established, who knows the team well already. He's, you know, Stafford's had coaches coming in and out of Detroit all his career. I just think for a bit of consistency with someone who knows what they're doing is just going to, you know, throw him up those quarterback leagues.
Yeah, I think from the sounds of it, you did not like Matt Patricia.
No. Oh, of course. Yeah, because the one place...
knew that he would refuse to go back to, or at least to go to any team, but the Lions or the Patriots.
Yep, because Patricia's come back to the Pats. Yep, well done. That's already gone well.
He's got a big arm. He can scramble. And he's like, what, he's 31, 32 now. So, yeah, like I said, he's got some tread, you know, a little bit of tread left on the tyres. He has been beaten up a fair bit over his career. But he's one of these quarterbacks who he can just sling it. He can, you know, he's done it with the Lions. He kept them feisty, used to keep them in games. So if he could do that with a team that was like sort of, you know, at that level, then coming to a team that's sort of playing at a higher level than that at the moment, you could only imagine he's going to do much better things, you would hope. It's going to be weird seeing him in a Rams jersey. Like,
you're right. I was looking forward to him in a Colts jersey.
I had him down with the Colts.
Yeah, it does show you how good. Last week, I think we all pretty much said he's going to the Colts, yeah. And then probably about 24 hours later, it was confirmed he was off to the Rams.
From what I saw on my streams and whatnot, that Washington were the team that were closest to picking him up. Yeah. And then I think the Rams basically threw in another second rounder and then the deal was done. But the Washington football team with Stafford, that would have been something I would not like to have gone against twice a year. But this trade, now that Stafford's moved, he was the most obvious free agent. There's a lot more chat up coming about other quarterbacks that weren't at the forefront. I'll throw out a couple of names. Carson Wentz, Jameis Winston, Derek Carr. Tim, do you want to talk about the rumours on Derek Carr if he's on your team?
Yeah, a lot of the rumours started a couple of days ago, got into full stride because a guy, Vincent Bonseniero, who does a Raiders podcast, he suggested that teams are going to call the Raiders about Carr to see the availability. And he then suggested a hypothetical that the Raiders could trade to get Watson. And that got all blown out of proportion. Oh, the Raiders are shopping Carr. The Raiders aren't shopping Carr. What's happening is teams will inquire. This happens all the time. When you've got a top 10 quarterback and people think, oh, he's not that happy, but they've got a decent backup, so they might listen to offers. That's what's going to happen with Derek Carr. Teams might say, right, we'll give you two first-round picks for Derek Carr. Because he's on a cheap contract now as well. It was when he signed it was a pretty decent contract, but now given other people's contracts, it's a pretty good contract. So they won't trade him, but it still doesn't stop stupid trades being suggested. I've seen Raiders trade Derek Carr to the Texans, and they get Watson, but they get Carr, and two first-round picks. I've even seen four first-round picks for Watson, including Carr, suggested. They're just ridiculous. They won't get rid of Carr, but it won't stop the rumours.
Do you think... Don, Craig, sorry.
I'm just going to say, I think overall, like, it'll be... I think this off-season will be really interesting to see what's going to happen. Like, you, like last season, like, it's been getting more and more recent, I think, with quarterbacks, that you tend to see them move around a little bit in the off-season. I'd say this year there's around maybe half the teams in the NFL that could potentially look to bring somebody new in or ship somebody out. But I think now it's... I think what's happened with Brady going to the Bucs, I think could change the way a lot of teams now view the off-season and how they want to build teams. If so, there's teams out there now that feel like they're at a reasonable sort of level and you could make that push. You could see a lot of teams now getting rid of a younger guy, or rather than going through the draft, to just bring in someone who's ready to go there and then,
I think there's
proven,
a lot,
tested.
As you say, Craig, there's a lot of teams now that are one quarterback away from being a decent team, and they need a quarterback. It's not like they might just carry on with who they got. You look at the Texans, the Bears, the Colts, the Washington football team, and even the Pats, they actually do need a quarterback. It's not like they can, do with what they've got. And even the Saints, if Breeze finally makes his mind up and retires.
Another kind of spanner to throw in the works as well is that you mentioned, Tim, people are saying four first rounders for Derek Carr. The Stafford Goff trade has driven the market up, because a lot of people are hinting that the reason why Goff had to come along with two first round picks is Goff's contract, which is quite expensive and quite long. I think it carries about, both Matt Stafford and Goff's contract, of, I think it's about 20 mil of dead money for each team. So they've not lost too much like that. But it's the contracts going forward, like you mentioned, Derek Carr's on a very reasonable contract. And that then also doubles back to, on the Craig's point, do you want to pick up a great quarterback through trading, or do you want to risk it in the draft? A big... problem with the Rams' current strategy of, we don't need first round picks, we can develop through mid round picks and trading, which is a valid strategy if you could pull it off. First round picks have a 5-year contract for cheap. That you see most teams winning Super Bowls on a great quarterback on a rookie contract. Patrick Mahomes, Carson Wentz. I'm not sure if Cam Newton was still on his rookie contract. I don't think he was anyone else, but regardless, you need that cheap quarterback giving you really good value for money. This is, I think it's going to shake the whole kind of system up, in that people are going to want more quarterbacks because that price has gone higher. I think more people are going to be depending on the draft, and these names you see with Carson Wentz and Jameis Winston, I think there's going to be a lot of smoke blown around, but no actual trades.
It's ironic that it was actually Jared Goff that changed the quarterback market a few years ago when he went to the Super Bowl, because then it was proved that you could get to the Super Bowl with a young quarterback and pay them on their rookie deal. And then everyone's like, "Oh, right, okay, let's just draft a young quarterback then, and we'll build around him." Same with Carson Wentz. So you could use the money to build up the team and know that this quarterback will take you to the Super Bowl. So it's going to be a strange time to see what happens. I don't think this is the last of the blockbuster trades. I think there's going to be a few quarterbacks moving about.
Yeah, I think that's where I think now, because of what's happened with Brady and the Bucs, I think we'll see it shifting away from that. And, like I was saying with the Rams are in win now mode. They're trying to move that draft capital that's 2-3 years down the line. That doesn't exactly mean much to them right now because they're in win now mode. So they're happy to cash in and go all in for the future because they're not thinking 2-3 seasons down the line. They're thinking now. They're thinking next season. You know what I mean?
And it is another good year for quarterbacks in the draft. There's about 4 or 5 potential starters in the draft.
That brings me on to my question for Joe, because we were talking last week about what you wanted and stuff, and you and me both agreed we thought it would be Mac Jones. Does Craig's, I guess, argument put you more in the mindset of you wanting to take someone out of the pool, maybe like a Jameis Winston or something, for you to have a known value, or would you rather still risk it in the draft?
It is tough. I mean, my point's always been the we've got, even though quarterback obviously is the main issue in every team, I think we've got more issues other than quarterback that need to be sorted first. I think with the Patriots, you know, the weapons and receivers are so poor, it doesn't matter what quarterback you put in there, there's not going to be any success. So for me, I'm quite happy, you know, to go through the whole draft process. However, if there is a big quarterback there for the taking, I'm not going to say no. I think someone who has gone very under the radar, I'm not too sure what's going on. I know they're probably going to re-sign him, but the fact Dak Prescott is free agent is huge. And I think that's one to keep an eye on. I think the injury may potentially have changed it, but I think the fact the Cowboys haven't paid him yet is just stupid.
You and Jerry Jones, would you give Dak $40 million a year?
Yes, 100%.
Okay. Do you think they tag him rather than just give him a big deal? Do you think they just slap a tag on him and save it for next year?
I can't again, can you?
He was franchise tag last year, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yes, so this year he's for quarterbacks as well. Set the second year is expensive, and then the third year is just exorbitant.
Yeah. Just pay the man the money. I think he's done enough.
I'd look, anyone can take Dak out of the NFC East, and I would not be unhappy.
Yeah.
I saw a stat that he's the last quarterback from the 2016 draft that has not been traded or benched.
It's a risk though, because he's coming from an offense that did have a lot of weapons. So I guess when you remove him out of Dallas and you plug him into another system somewhere else, it's tougher, I would say, to sort of anticipate how well he's going to do. Plus the injury now as well. You've got that X factor as well, as you don't know how good his leg's going to be when he comes back, or even once it's healed, how, if he's still the same guy. Because a lot of people, when they come back from big serious injuries like that, it takes them a long time before they trust the leg again to be able to cut, move, run, everything else. So you don't know if you're getting the same Dak Prescott you had pre-injury.
Yeah. I think with that, though, when it comes to that, yes, I don't think other teams would take the risk of paying him a lot. But I think, I wouldn't say the Cowboys have an obligation to pay him, but if anyone's going to give him the big money, the Cowboys should be the team to do that.
Yes. I think it's probably the most interesting one, because it's kind of just happened out of a little bit of an ineptitude and so much bad luck for Dak. Because credit to Dak, I think the Cowboys offense has never had great offensive coordinators. I can't remember what his name is. He's the guy has come out of Boise State. He is young and he is good. But a lot of the wins that the Cowboys get, and credit to Dak Prescott, they come from Dak. He's really good in the clutch sometimes. Is, like Craig said, is that, what is it? It's a horrible break. Is that going to impact his decision making? Anyway, another quarterback I've heard hints of, which I thought was fun, was Jameis Winston, because apparently Sean Payton's obviously got a well-known love for Taysom Hill, who's a free agent, but he's also got quite a love for Jameis Winston. And it's a case of the Saints are interested, but other teams are also interested. Does Jameis stay with the Saints? If so, does he start? Does he go to a different team? Does he start with a different team? Because this is LASIK, Jameis Winston.
I think he stays. And in my opinion, between him and Hill, I think he should get the start over Hill. I don't think we've seen enough from Taysom Hill to say that he's anything other than this sort of Swiss Army knife that you can just plug in and do bits and bobs with. As a full-blown starter, I'm not personally convinced. I think they try and keep him, but it's money, if money allows, I guess. If he gets offered enough and the Saints can't really compete with that, then...
Saints are the worst team in the cap right now.
Yeah, I think it'll be tough to keep him, but I could see him staying.
It's one of those, I think Winston's got to sit down. If the Saints offer him anything, he's just got to go, look, are you going to make me starter? Yes or no? I think the ball's in his court with it, and he needs to start somewhere. I think there's a lot of places in the NFL he could start. So if he's going to bother staying and then being played behind a guy who isn't a quarterback, really, is just a bit, I don't know, just think it's a bit of a mug off in a way.
Yeah, I don't think the Saints really have got that many options, have they? Because like Adam just said, they're a terrible cap space, so they can't really afford to make any big splashes. I don't know where they are draft pick wise, but I think they're not that great a position, so stick with them.
Yeah, well, they're just they're apparently cutting Emmanuel Sanders. There's a good chance that, you know, I think they could ship out Michael Thomas. If the likes of Sanders and Thomas goes, I think there could be, would you want to be a quarterback on that offense?
I mean, you still got Alvin Kamara.
I'll do it. I'll just drop back every time and just watch short little side passes to Alvin Kamara.
I think you're right, though. I think that they're going to have to they need to find places to lose cap. And you either shed off a couple of medium players, but you've just lost your Hall of Fame quarterback. You've got two maybes at quarterback. Surely you get rid of your top receiver who's costing an absolute fortune, who just came off a fairly tepid season.
And he was injured for most of it.
Yeah, granted he was injured, but even when he came back from injury, he didn't look the same. He was the best receiver last year. Yeah. And I mean, he wasn't even competing for the top receiver. I think they get rid of Michael Thomas and they kind of have to rebuild the offense around having a great offensive line in Kamara and hoping some receivers and a quarterback can step in.
I agree. I'd get rid of him, use that money elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And it's a bit less of a headache because you've got one less massive diva on your team. I'm not a particular fan of big diva wide receivers.
Some exciting news as well this week we had was that we became accredited NFL media. So we were able to step in and be in all of the Super Bowl interviews that have been taking place since Monday. Who you guys listened to? Who's your favorite person you chat with? I know there were some pretty absurd questions getting thrown out in some places.
For me, I really liked Eric Bieniemy. Because Eric Bieniemy got asked a lot of questions about the offense, the offensive line, but also about how he felt about not getting a head coaching job. And I thought he handled that really well. He was perfectly honest about it. He said, yep, I need to get feedback. I had the interviews. I want to see what happened. But my job now is to concentrate on winning the Super Bowl. I'll do that afterwards. Whatever happens, happens. You know, he basically was saying, I've got a great job as it is. I really enjoy my job. I'm concentrating on that. So he came across as a really nice guy. I liked his interview.
I enjoyed Shaq Barrett, but I think my favourite was Ndamukong Suh. Just from a defensive line perspective, it was nice to just, I think, get in there with him and just listen to what he had to say. And yeah, you know, I'm a fan of his, obviously, from the position. He's someone who, when I played, I used to watch a lot of film of and stuff. So, yeah, it was nice to be able to get in there and speak to him and, you know, sit through his interview.
Yeah, I'm absolutely the same. I got to sit through Le'Veon Bell's, and I've been a big fan of him for a couple of years now. I think he's when he's good, he's one of the best running backs to watch. And it was just nice to hear him talk about not only himself, but, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Leonard Fournette, Ronald Jones. It was nice to hear how he kind of, yeah, from a running back perspective as well, I really enjoyed because I got to kind of relate a little bit. But he talked a little bit about his music, his like time at the Jets as well. It was just nice to listen to kind of his viewpoint on things.
Yeah, you get like a real insight when you sit down and listen to them for a while, not just, you know, who they are in the game, but who they are personally. Like I sat down in Clyde Edwards-Helaire's one, and I didn't know much about the kid. So he knew him in the draft, came through and watched him a lot this season. But actually, personally, and he's such a nice bloke. You know, there was a lot of questions about like his personal life, about his stepdad, how much he looks up to his stepdad, and a lot of stuff about LSU, talking about how LSU is so successful. And it was just nice, you know, you forget sometimes that he's only 21 years old. Like he was talking like he was 30, 40, but he's just a kid still. But yeah, no, some proper nice interviews. They're all good blokes.
I was going to, I would find it interesting if this would have been my question, but I don't know what you guys think. some of them look more relaxed than they do on the usual media day, especially your Tom Brady's, your Patrick Mahomes, because normally there's a scrum of people shouting questions at them. Because this one, basically, as a moderator, and they answer one question at a time, there's no one shouting questions at them. I think if I was a player, I would prefer this style rather than the media scrum.
Yeah, well, I when I joined one of the interviews early, the guy was just like, you could see him on camera just like chilling on his phone. And then like 3 minutes later, they were just like, yeah, we're about to start. And he was like, okay.
Did you not see the Brady quote when he first sat him down and said, how are you finding like this Super Bowl and everything with everything that's happening with all COVID and everything? And he said, he went, well, it's a bit different than what I'm used to the last seven times. He went, it was a bit more like sort of mad hustle and bustle, you know, with this time it's a bit different for him. And I thought it's a bit of a subtle massive flex, but okay, you know what I mean, like roll with it.
I was in the start of that interview, and I've got a beautiful screenshot of Tom Brady taking a picture of the cameras, because they're obviously just sat in a room with a camera in front of him. They can't see the people asking the questions, and it was before it officially started, and he was like, oh man, this is mental, I've got to take a picture of this. So I've got a lovely picture of him just taking a picture of me.
That being said, I was thinking about this today. I think a lot of the players, I think the players, yeah, but I think more so the coaches. I think the way this Super Bowl's been set out because of COVID-19 and the restrictions, everything else that's going on, I think it must be easier for them to prepare, in my opinion. I was thinking about this today. Like, I think being at home for Tampa, they still have a bit more of the madness around them, I guess, and a bit more of the pressure because it's hometown. They can't really escape or get away from it. Whereas with the Chiefs, they're still training in their own facility. I think they're flying in the day before. So they're still prepping for this Super Bowl as if it was a normal regular season away game. They're still in their own facility, using their own rooms. They're still just prepping like they would every other day of the week. So I think for the players, it must be a lot more relaxing and a bit less pressure to just sort of focus and get in the right mindset for it.
Yeah, that's what Brady was saying. He was basically saying that he can eat what he wants. He can eat his food. He can sleep in his bed. So he's not in a hotel eating food he can't choose. And someone like Brady, who everything he does is meticulously planned, what he puts in his body, what he does, everything is about that. That's got to be huge for him.
The avocado ice cream. So we did put out a couple of feelers today for some questions on all the usual channels. Got a couple back, so we'll go through them now. We've got FXNN_SMXFS. On the NFL UK subreddit has asked, which non-quarterback do you think has the best chance to win Super Bowl MVP? Tim?
I'm going with a running back. I'll go Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Okay, Joe?
Oh, see, this is going to give away my MVP choice for the predictions later. I don't know. I think it's going to be, I haven't actually decided yet fully, but I think it's going to be a Bucks defensive player. I've got Jason Pierre-Paul at the moment, so I'm going to say him.
Those points.
Interesting choice. I'm thinking it's someone like Kelsey, Travis Kelsey, or maybe Hill, Tyreek Hill, one of them two. I could see it because, you know, with this Chiefs team, usually one of them tends to have a big game. It depends on, you know, it's pick your poison in it. You can only really double team one of them and try and mark one of them out the game. And when they do, the other one tends to punish you. So, yeah, I could see it. Probably Kelsey, I'd lean on.
Do you know when the last time a defensive player won MVP, Joe?
Was it Ray Lewis or someone?
It was Malcolm.
It was Von Miller.
2014,
was it?
Von Miller won it in
2016.
Yeah, I was about to say, because the last time I called an MVP, it was outside linebacker Von Miller. So this time, followed this player for 3 years, Shaq Barrett, I've got as my MVP.
Take back my scornful look at you, Joe.
Craig, now you mentioned that, though, it so could easily be, I reckon, out of those two, Travis Kelsey's got the better chance, because he's just, when he has a big game, he just takes over.
Well, that's like Joe was saying, it kind of gives away my MVP for later. That's who I've gone with. I've tried to go non-QB, because I hate going QB, it's too obvious.
Yeah, I agree. Next question. Josh1878 on the NFL UK subreddit asks, do you think this will be Brady's final Super Bowl, Joe?
Oh, yeah. Everything points towards yes, but everything of his last three Super Bowls points towards yes. So I'm going to say no.
Ooh, Brady's biggest fan. Craig?
I'm going to say no. As much as it hurts to say that, because I hate seeing him, I'm sick to death of seeing him in the Super Bowl. But I think this team is that good. If you can keep this team together and sort of rolling the way it's rolling, with a little bit of luck on this side, yeah, I am. I could see them ending up here again.
Yeah, I've acknowledged he's statistically the GOAT. I still think Peyton Manning played better at him than points, but yeah, I mean, you don't get to go to 10 Super Bowls and not be considered just the best. And I doubted him last year. I said he can't go to a new team and make it. He's just gone and done it. I absolutely think he'll at least get into another one.
I'm
going to say no, because statistically, the odds are surely he can't go to another one, because there's so many. No, I'm going to say no.
You look at the NFC, and other than the Packers, who seem to switch off when they play this team. They seem to struggle. They just seem to have their number. Realistically, who else in the NFC is going to take them on? Now, especially now the Saints are falling apart and being picked apart now. Like, who else have you got powerhouse-wise in that conference?
There's no one, really. Rams, Seahawks, potentially 49ers cards. Like, the West.
The West is still brutal. They've got cards, yeah. 49ers, Rams, and Seahawks.
That's a brutal division, though. Like, I think that division beats itself up.
Yeah, I was about to say, they always come out of it looking just victorious. That's a good question. Craig, did you get one off Insta?
So we have a question from Ray Carroll. He says, this is going to be my first Super Bowl to watch. If you have any, what are your Super Bowl traditions? Also, what team comes out on top?
Well, yeah, we'll get to the score later in the show. But do you have any traditions, Tim? You've probably been watching Super Bowl longest.
Yeah, go on, Tim.
I'm old, so I normally watch the rugby in the afternoon because it always lines up with the start of Six Nations. And then I have a nap. Have a nap. A nap is very important if you're going to stay up that late.
Normally, when I was at home, I'd make some chicken. I'd get some beers in. But since being involved with the Fury every year for Super Bowl, we have a big like a big Super Bowl do at one of our sponsors, usually one of the bars or pubs that sponsor us, and used to sponsor the Fury, like sponsor the Nighthawks, and you'll have like a Merseyside sort of football Super Bowl party. So that sort of just became my tradition over the last 4 or 5 years. So it's going to be weird not doing it this year.
I'm going to say my tradition's doing it with Craig.
I'm pretty sure that friend of the show, Simon, his tradition is him and his son take bets on what time I'll fall asleep. And then they keep texting me until I don't answer. Then whoever gets the time right wins.
It's weird this year, isn't it? Without the, mine's just going to the pub with like 7 or 8 mates, and they do like American food at the pub we go to, and it's just like corn dogs, nachos just being bought out. But the thing is, like, half of them watch the game, but they don't really care that much. They just get blackout drunk and start shouting so I can't hear the TV, and just no one has a clue what's going on for the whole second half. It's excellent.
Speaking of corn dogs and all the rest of it, I've got a banquet for Super Bowl this year, haven't I? My missus won a banquet online from Hickory. Shout out to Nighthawks for hooking us up there with that one. I'm buzzing with that. We're getting like ribs, brisket, wings, corn dogs, like loving life.
So jealous, man. That's such a good thing to win.
Yeah, but make your own traditions, Ray Carroll. That's the best. I like to break a glass on a table, according to Craig.
Yeah. Adam got a little bit overexcited when the Eagles in the Super Bowl and started breaking pint glasses because he was slamming them down on the table so hard after one too many things.
Very out of context. I smashed one glass by hitting the table when we got sacked or something.
I drank like, I'd say a quarter of a pint of tequila when Malcolm Butler got... The rule was, if the Seahawks won, I had to finish this thing of tequila. And obviously, all my heads are in hands. And then Malcolm Butler got the interception. I got so excited, I drank the tequila anyway.
All right, fantastic. And last question we got was asked by KingDog17 on the subreddit. If the Chiefs win, do you think Andy Reid will get bacon on his cheeseburger?
Hopefully, he gets a lot more than that. You just got burger sauce, keep piling it on, bacon. What else can go? Blue cheese is always good.
You know what? I had on a burger the other day for the first time, and it was a game changer. A hash brown.
Oh,
Like a KFC Zynga Tower burger or something like that. Like, oh,
gentlemen, this is an NFL podcast.
As a citizen of Scotland, can I just say you have never lived until you've had square sausage and a hash brown on a roll. Scottish tradition.
Battered Mars bar for dessert.
We had a local chippy, we had a Burns night kind of special last weekend, and alongside our chippy, we got battered Mars bars. my arteries felt it. Let's move into our predictions then. Of course, me and Craig are out of the race, but Tim and Joe are neck and neck for that Gardner Minshew jersey. What are the scores heading into the Super Bowl?
So, heading into the Super Bowl, the current scores are Craig 213, Adam 214, I am on 223, and Joe on 226.
So, only 3 points between. I mean, that's a bold prediction.
It's close. If it goes. Looking at the sheet already, I'm not going to give too much away. But if one team does really well, if someone's won. If what the other team does well, if the other person's won. So that's how it's going.
Okay, yeah. Let's just get straight into it. Unlike our normal weeks, we do have a couple of extra categories alongside the winner, what the score is by, and our bold prediction. We're also going to be getting an over-under, which is a point each. And if you can get the Super Bowl MVP, is it a point, or are we saying 3 points for that?
One, I think. Is that what we did last year?
I think so.
Yeah, so an extra one for calling the MVP, right? So let's break the game up into four statistics. We've got offense, defense, special team, and coaching. Obviously, both teams have got pretty fantastic offenses looking into this. Injury-wise, both teams are looking pretty much good to go. I think the center, Daniel Kilgore's good to play with because he had a negative test. Could be wrong there, but only one or two players for the Chiefs that have had a positive result, so they are in proxy, I guess. But looking to be a healthy Super Bowl, offensively, Tim, who's got the upper hand here?
It's actually a lot closer than I thought when I broke it down looking at Tampa and Kansas. Kansas have obviously got an explosive offense, sixth overall, first in passing, 16th in rushing. We all know about Mahomes, Kelce, Tyreek Hill. You've also got Hardman, Watkins, if he's fit, and Robinson all have got 400 to 500 yards this season. The big question about Kansas's offense is the O-line. And I know a lot of coaches talked about this, how much they've built for that. They've just built an offensive squad of offensive linemen that can play any position. And when you look at, they've got, five starters, basically, are out. They're missing. And they're making it. Even I didn't even know Steven Wisniewski still played. The Raiders drafted him, and he's starting right guard in the Super Bowl. For fair play to him. Because he
started our left guard in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. He's a great player. Well, he was back in the day. So they've been battered by injury, but because of the way the teams run, and it's so well coached and so well stocked with good, versatile players, that they're doing well. Obviously, a couple of the old linemen, you've got to give a shout out to Lauren DuVernay-Tardif, who took the season off to work in healthcare. Okay, he's a qualified doctor, so he's been helping COVID patients. So he deserves a Super Bowl ring just for that, quite frankly. But yeah, it's a good offense.
Talking about players making the offensive plays and stuff, making the Super Bowl, who started out in other teams, it's interesting to see Lev Bell and Antonio Brown both making it on opposite sides of the, on opposite teams as well. You know what I mean?
He was talking about that in his interview. Someone asked him, like, do you still talk to AB, and did you anticipate you guys playing in a Super Bowl against each other? And, like, he kind of was just like, yeah, I don't really speak to him much anymore. I am paraphrasing, but they don't keep in touch a lot. But, yeah, I think it's just such an interesting offense, because Patrick Mahomes is arguably one of the most gifted quarterbacks that we've seen. Tom Brady has proven he's one of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen. Neither's got weaknesses on receiving fronts or running backs. It's literally these offensive line aside, because obviously the Chiefs are struggling with some, both their originally starting tackles, I believe, are out. But they're both just such high-powered offenses. And we must say it's every Super Bowl, oh, this offense is so great. But like, if you literally just look at the names, Chiefs, you get Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Le'Veon Bell. You think, okay, that's 5-6 unbelievable names. And then you go Rob Gronkowski, Tom Brady, Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. And then Leonard Fournette, like, it's absolutely bonkers the amount of star players on offense that are going against each other here.
I think Tampa Bay's offense, they've just got better and better as the season's gone on. Because, like, midway through the season, people are a bit like, yeah, this Tom Brady thing isn't working out. But it's just got better and better, and they peaked at just the right time, I think.
Yeah. I think it'll be interesting to see how Mahomes' foot is. You know, this is a very... This offense likes to rush. It's a very downhill sort of defense. It's a very downhill defense. It likes to come at you. It likes to put pressures on you. It likes to, you like to blitz you. It's how mobile is he going to be? But at the same time, if he can take advantage of that, you know, if they're sending guys and it's freeing guys up in the middle, can Mahomes, you know, I think a big part of that, I imagine someone like Andy Reid's going to be able to see that coming a mile away and, scheme something up to exploit that. Like,
it's just like when you think about it as well with the Chiefs, you're thinking about how you can try and stop them, and they've come up against a fair few good defenses this year, but you just know that the ball's gonna be snapped to Patrick Mahomes. He's gonna have the ball for about 5 seconds, maybe can't find anyone straight away. He's maybe, say he's more mobile than we expect, and obviously hopefully he is. He runs down to the sideline, you know he's still going to be connecting with someone 20, 25 yards down the field. It's just the Chiefs. It's just that unstoppable force that even if you think you know how to stop him, you're not. Unfortunately, it's going to be tough. Don't get me wrong, the Bucks defense, we'll get onto it, but you just know they're just going to be brilliant. And hopefully for the sake of the spectacular sort of game this is hopefully going to be, they will.
Patrick Mahomes on one leg could outrun a couple of other Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, quite frankly.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got 1,000-yard rusher Tom Brady here, but you make an interesting point. Like, yeah, who do you stop on the Chiefs offense? So it kind of makes you think the person who you have to stop is Patrick Mahomes, because you simply can't try and cover all bases. And if I may segue into the defensive points, that Bucks defensive line, now that Vita Vea is back, like, I don't know if you watched the Packers game, but Aaron Rodgers has just come always under pressure, because you think Shaq Barrett's a pretty well-known name. He popped off last year and he's kept it going. JPP, obviously, a bit of an older guy, but this year, especially in the playoffs, he's been playing really well. And then you've got this absolute Leviathan Vita Vea back in the stopping the run game. Like, if you've seen him play, he's an absolute monster. Like, he completely changes how that line plays. And with both tackles out for the Chiefs offense, I think there's the best way to stop the Chiefs offense is shutting down Mahomes. And you've got Mahomes on one leg behind a bruised line against a very fierce defensive front.
Yeah, they're big boys. And even when, you know, you've got Devin White in there as well, you know, alongside Lavonte David. It's just, there's not a real weakness, in my opinion, when it comes to the Bucks defense. I know, granted, their sort of pass defense hasn't been as good, but these players, they've improved throughout the season, like the offense has, like the whole team has, and they're starting to pose a real sort of threat. And you're right, if they can get to Mahomes quickly, if he has got this injury and he starts sort of second doubting, I don't believe Patrick Mahomes is sort of susceptible to panicking, but if they can force him to potentially do that, that secondary is going to be there to pick up any potential loose balls. I think that's the way the Bucks have to approach it. I wouldn't say it's all on their defense, but their defense needs to make big, big plays throughout this game.
I haven't watched the Chiefs play the Raiders for so many years, even in the Patrick Mahomes era period. It wouldn't surprise me if, as you were saying there, Joe, some third string running back and no one's ever heard of is MVP because he has a cracking game, because they'll just go, right, okay, everyone's expecting the ball to go to Kelsey. We'll just leave this guy out here and throw it to him because no one's going to think we're going to throw it to him. There's so much versatility on that Kansas offense.
Yeah. And also we're well with the Chiefs defense as well. Granted, it's not the best defense because unfortunately for them, when you've got an offense like that, you don't really have to think too much about defense, but they've got big names. You know, they've got two sort of big leaders in the front line and also in the secondary, you know, like Honey Badger's been class, I think, this year. Again, he always seems to turn up and he loves to turn up in the big games. And Chris Jones as well is just keep on doing what he's doing, and he's just also a monster. Granted, they don't have the depth and the sort of the amount of class players as the Bucks do, but you know, they've still got big players that can make big plays if need be. And Tom Brady threw three interceptions in the championship game. There's always a chance that can happen this time around.
I tell you what they can do. This is an interesting stat I found. If they're inside the 10-yard line, Brady to Evans is a lethal combination. So inside the 10-yard line, he's had 10 receptions, 10 touchdowns, and one drop. That's pretty impressive.
I don't think, like, Brady is nearly automatic on those really routine red zone plays because he's had Gronk for so long. Because Gronk's just the perfect receiver for it as well.
He just needs a big body guy.
Yeah.
And also, if you're down, like, I don't know, third and one, you're just going to have the Tom Brady fall forward play, which works every single time.
You're talking about Honey Badger. Can he stop wearing the yellow gloves and the yellow boots? Every time he's running up and down the field, I keep thinking I'm seeing a flag, and it throws my head in. Like I think it doesn't go well as a uniform anyway. I think the yellow would against the red and the white. Just like it, for me, it just, I'm not a fan personally, to my personal taste. But just as a fan watching the game, it drives me nuts because I keep thinking I'm seeing flags.
It's so that when he's holding someone, the ref looks. If there's a flag on the field and thinks, oh, I'll not bother throwing the flag because someone's already flown it. At the end of the play, they're all like, I thought you threw a flag. No, I didn't throw a flag. Did you? No, I'm sure I saw it. That's why he wears yellow.
See, it's counterintuitive because normally you would think I'm going to wear a pair of gloves that's similar to the opposition's jersey. So it's harder to tell if I'm like got a little cheeky hold or like something going on that shouldn't be there. You know what I mean?
It's so he can, if a flag is thrown, if he's got the opportunity, he can just catch it and it just disappears.
Interestingly enough, have you seen the weather forecast for the Super Bowl?
Thunderstorms, isn't it?
Thunderstorms, yeah.
Going to get a repeat of the Ravens Super Bowl.
With the blackout.
Yeah. An interesting bit I saw about Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, is Bruce Arians, obviously the head coach for the Bucks. Said he was the best player he ever drafted. I think that was the phrase. But yeah, obviously drafted him on the Cardinals back in, I think, 2013 or 14. And now he's now on a back-to-back Super Bowl team with the Chiefs. He lives up to his name. He's very aggressive, both on the field and off.
One of my favourite players, mate. He just does everything at 100%. Like, he just does not slow down, and I think everyone needs a player like that. And mixed with his talent, it just works so well.
And so we move to the most important side of the ball, according to Bill Belichick, special teams. Did anyone manage to find any advantage or disadvantage that either team has?
No, they're both terrible.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Kansas City are ranked 23rd in special teams, and Tampa Bay are ranked 31 in special teams.
Tampa Bay, though, with special teams, I guess that team, that defense gets a lot of interceptions and a lot of turnovers. So the special teams, I guess, isn't on the field as much to make that sort of impact, because the defense is doing it for them. They're just turning the ball straight over and putting the offense back on the field.
And the Chiefs, I mean, they're low there, but obviously I think their punt return is Tyreek and their kick return is Mecole Hardman, who are both lightning. So if they've got low stats, they've still got two unbelievable returners.
Two good kickers in this game as well. Is Butker still playing? I should be honest with you. He is. And Ryan Suckup, isn't it?
Yeah,
two good kickers. So
something we love to see. And finally, we move on to the battle of the two tomatoes, Bruce Arians versus I mean, I've been a fan of Bruce Arians for a while now. One of the first things I ever watched when I got into the NFL was the Arizona Cardinals Amazon series, whatever it's called.
All or Nothing,
yeah.
That was the first one I ever saw. So you really got a feel for a lot of people like Tyrann Mathieu and Carson Palmer. But you got a lot about Bruce Arians. So, and he's a very like livid coach. Like, he just always seemed really pissed off at people. And that's what I kind of like about him. And I think it's so interesting that you've got Andy Reid, this veteran, revered head coach, with the young, obviously not necessarily inexperienced anymore, but then you've got the kind of fiery, he is quite old coach, never not much Super Bowl experience except for that one with the Cardinals. But he's got this player who barely even needs coaching, essentially leading the Bucs into the playoffs. So it's a nice little juxtaposition that both coaches have.
Yeah, and he's got a couple. He had a couple Super Bowl wins as at the Steelers, didn't he? I think he was like wide receiver coach and offensive coordinator or something like that. So thankfully, because if it was just the Cardinals, he just got a loss to his name. But thankfully, he does know how to win them as a sort of secondary staff member. But yeah, I do like BA. Did you see him rock up today in his press conference with sunglasses on? Just
things I saw yesterday. It was Andy Reid's press conference. Because when they're doing the Zoom meetings, they have a round light that they look into that lights them up. He had his glasses on, and all you could see, I thought someone had done like put adids onto the thing. So you just had Andy Reid with these two round circles in his eyes. And look, I was like, what's going on there? But the first day he rocked up in his Hawaiian shirt, I tweeted a picture of that. That was beautiful.
But they both just wear Hawaiian shirts.
I think they both did.
Yeah. Two characters on coaching anyway. And obviously, Todd Bowles is obviously a bit of a bad time with the Jets, but hey, he didn't.
Interesting choice that the Bucs are wearing white and the Chiefs are wearing red. I would have thought with the Bucs...
Nah, you're in hot Florida, you want to be wearing white.
I guess.
But... not if it's raining.
Oh yeah, true. Is a true thing though, those in the open air prefer to play in white because it keeps you cooler.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, there was one team that definitely took advantage of it and tried to always make the other team play in dark colours so they'd be more tired. But yeah, like I said, Todd Bowles has had a bit of a reincarnation as the DC for the Bucks. And like you've all said, they do rack up the turnovers when they're on, but they can have some pretty crappy games. I think that is their problem. If they don't get it going, they can... They if they miss out on those flashy plays, they're not going to be really consistent. But the Chiefs, they're such a surprising defense in some games, because we've all said they don't really need it because their offense is so good, but they still have a defense. I'm sure if you talk to any Chiefs fan, they will big up their defense, because, I mean, not the secondary, obviously, you've got Tyrann Mathieu kind of prowling around, but Frank Clark and whatever the gent's called, their D-line's great as well, and they are going to be putting pressure on Brady, which is, we all know, the way to beat Brady is to hit Brady.
Yeah, they can be susceptible to big plays, because when the Raiders beat them, big plays that won the game, because we were throwing it downfield. Henry Ruggs had one of his four touchdowns. That was worth it.
Was it his coming out party? Nevertheless, let's go on to who we have penned in as our victors. Craig, let's start off with us two. Who have you got?
Okay, well, before I go into this, seeing as it's the toilet bowl, I think there should be some kind of forfeit for whoever comes last. So I think before we shout out these traditions, I think, I don't know, I'll come up with some sort of concoction that one of us has got a zinc or something along those lines. I don't know, I'll think of something, I'll come up with something.
My things then.
Okay, so I've got Chiefs by 10. And we're just doing scores first.
Yeah,
let's go with scores first. So Chiefs by 10. I'm taking the flip side of that. It was a hard choice because don't like Brady, but I don't want a back-to-back winner. And I've got two very good friends that I both support, but I'm going to take the Bucks. I think they deserve a win since, what has it been, like 18 years? And I think they've got it. Bucks by 2.
Oh, Tim, what way have you gone? That's the main question. Me and Tim are basically going opposites regardless. So,
to be honest with you, I actually would have gone the way I've gone, even if you hadn't gone the way you've gone.
Yeah.
This is definitely an honest choice. So do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'm not going to go against Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. I feel like I'd be being a traitor to him. So I've got the Bucks to win this by 6. I trust their defense.
I've gone with the best team all season. I've not got caught up in all the hype this week with the Bucks and Tom Brady, so I'm going Chiefs by 3.
Craig, Chiefs by 10. You're pretty confident in that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think like Tim said, I think I do really like this Bucks defense, but I think the Chiefs all season, even on their off day, have just found ways to win. They've been here before. The team is still rolling. I think when it comes to coaching, I think Andy Reid comes out on top in that regard. My heart would like the Bucks to win. I mean, other than Brady, I quite like the Bucks. But my head just says that the smart money's on the Chiefs.
The thing is, but I agree with that, Craig. It's like one of those things where if the Chiefs were to win by 10, I don't think we would be massively shocked. Like, we'd probably just sit back and just be like, shit, like, of course the Chiefs were going to win by 10. Like, they're the best team. So I completely see that, yeah. But go Bucks.
What you said, Joe, just it's Brady.
Yeah. Like, it's true.
Even if you just, I believe it, I don't like him. I don't think he's the best of all time. But it's just so hard to bet against him because every time you do, he just wins. Unless you're an NFC East fullback.
I get that. And this is the underdog's game. It's not like it's a season long. It's, you just got to show up on the day, get the job done. And it's not like Tampa don't have the weapons to show up on the day and do that. I just think the Chiefs at the minute are annoyingly best team in football. I think at the moment it's their game to lose. I think.
Okay.
Wait a sec. Before we, Tim, who do you want to win? Because I know this is nobody. You're going for Batman.
Neither of those two teams to win. I said
you want Bane. I want the Bane rocking up.
Lightning to come down, or like a couple of early sacks, Mahomes and Brady to both go off, and we'll have the Henny Bowls bowl.
Henny Bowl sounds like a cocktail.
Yeah, we'll have the Jaguars bowl.
Okay, moving on to our bowl predictions that have seemingly got less and less bold as we've gone through the playoffs. I'll start off with the toilet bowl predictions. I've got 4 sacks on each of the starting quarterbacks.
I've gone Travis Kelce to have 2 or more touchdowns.
I've gone Chiefs to have 3 or more turnovers.
I have gone 3 non-offensive touchdowns.
They're bold.
Aren't all Chiefs or Bucks touchdowns for you right now quite offensive to you, Tim?
Yes.
Let me clarify, Joe. Do you mean the Chiefs
Sorry, Chiefs offense turned the ball over 3 times.
Okay. And we've got an over under of 55.5. Was this taken off?
Yes, this was off Sky Bet. Other betting apps are available, I want to point out.
We are not sponsored.
So
an over under 55.5, for those who are not familiar with gambling terms, we're basically saying, are they going to both teams, will their scores together be under 55.5 or over 55.5? Tim, do you want to start off?
Just before we start, can I just say that we're not advocating gambling or drinking in any way? Just putting that out there.
Yeah, we're good boys.
Play contact sports.
So I've gone over because it's always exciting. If you're betting the under, you want people to stop scoring. You don't want an exciting game. So if you're betting the under, you're a loser.
Go.
That is exactly why I've gone under. I want a boring, toughy game, mate.
Greg?
I've gone under. Just, I don't know, because I felt like picking under.
It's Mahomes and Brady. It's going to be over. And finally, we've all basically said what they are, but we'll go for our MVPs. I've got my boy Shaq Barrett.
I've gone Travis Kelce. I've got him obviously scoring 2 touchdowns. I think out of him and Hill, I think, like we were talking earlier, I think if I had to put my money on one of the two having a bigger game, I'd go with Kelce.
I'm going to stick Jason Pierre-Paul.
Oh, it's bold.
That is bold.
I'm going to win this. I've gone Patrick Mahomes.
Hey, what, mate? If Jason Pierre-Paul comes in, like, I hope you've put a pound on that one.
Yeah, I will.
The guy's missing 2 fingers on one hand, mate. You know what I mean? Are we still playing football? I don't know.
I love it when you see a defensive player with a club on. Okay, so they are our Super Bowl predictions. Let us know on our media things why we are right and why we are wrong. Please be nice. You can find all of these predictions and our giveaway and everything else we do on our social media, which is Joe.
Yes, our Twitter and Instagram is at TAFS_UK and our Facebook is That America Football Show. Be sure to check out the giveaway on our Twitter as well. That's at TAFS_UK.
All this info can be found on our website. We have just got a new article up there as well. Tim, do you want to let them know where they can find it?
Yeah, it's thatamericanfootballshow.com. So we've got a new guest writer, Josh Morrow. His article's up on there. It's really interesting. Highly recommend everyone has a read of it. Hopefully we'll be getting more work off Josh. And if you want to write to us, send us an email and we'll have a chat about it.
Don't forget to check out our friends at Lockdown Lids. They've got a couple of Super Bowl contests going. They're currently undergoing server change, so the website's down. Don't be worried. It'll be back up tomorrow morning. Saying that, we're recording and it goes out tomorrow anyway. We got a shout out about one of our friends on Twitter. Is that right?
Yeah, so somebody called Big G contacted us. He's working with BAFA, effectively looking for people to play wheelchair American football. If you have a look on our Twitter and our Instagram, I've posted it on there. There's contact details. So, you know, if you're someone who would like to play or you know someone that would like to play a bit of wheelchair American football, have a look on our socials and get in touch with the people on the image there. It'll be good to get involved. Hopefully when Corona's all over, there'll be a lot of people signing up.
Okay, anything else we want to shout out, boys?
Shout our giveaway out again.
Keep plugging it.
Well, thanks everyone for listening. Hope you all enjoy your Super Bowl. Hope you're all partying responsibly according to your country's COVID protections. We're having a big Zoom party. Head over to EP Sports, check their stuff out as well if you're looking for any merch. And have a wonderful Super Bowl weekend.
Baby.
Pray for guidance, now I see the sign. Put me right to what I need to find. You can help me, it's for me to find. I took a peek inside. I ain't broken, I'ma be just fine. Couple things I had to redefine. Ain't no
nobody in this league of mine. At the table when it's feeding time. That's why they look for me to lead the line. Count your blessings, I'm receiving mine. Love my city, but I bleed.
Oh, I was going to ask people to get in touch and let us know what they think about snack helmets.
Oh. What is the fuss with snack? Jeez.
Exactly. But that's what I want, because it's very polarized debate, and all of the NFL UK groups have all gone off, and they are polar opposites. Mm. People are either all for it or just totally against it.
It's like a general election, but with snack helmets. Like, people are going for each other's throats over a helmet. Personally, I don't get it. I wouldn't spend 20 quid on it. You know, I'd use my bowl that I've got in the cupboard. But
I've seen 55 quid.
Well, I seen yesterday someone had bought one. They only wanted one set of stickers out of it for their team, which was like, I don't know, the 49ers or something. And then they were selling each team stickers £1 a go, plus you have to pay the stamp. You know what I mean?
And there's a whole black market for these stickers.
Yeah, I thought that's a clever way of doing it. You're just selling off all these stickers one by one, and it's paying for your snack helmet. You know what I mean?
I was looking at all the comments going, am I missing a joke here? I'm just like, arrived late to the party. It's a bit of plastic with the top taken off it. It's
grey as well. It's like a horrible grey. And then if you buy the blue one, you literally only get these little farting NFL stickers. And I thought, you want the stickers from one and the helmet from the other, and they've done that deliberately. You know what I mean?